There's a picture on weather.com from, it's the potential development area, and the X denotes the current location of the disturbance, and that is at the tip, the northwest tip of Georgia. Looks like it's gonna like slice down through Tallahassee and into the Gulf and maybe make a storm.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Should I have waited a minute to start the show?
Little gassy. No. Pizza's coming back on me.
Ooh, what kind of pizza?
Everything.
Oh, well, there you go. Even pineapple? Are you one of those people who put pineapple
on
pizza?
No, no pineapple. No, that's illegal.
You don't like sweet and savory all in one bite?
Well, I've had it. I think I've had it a couple of times. You know, the Hawaiian pizza with ham and pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my go-to pie. You know.
Okay.
I like the meat lovers.
All the meat.
All the meat.
Piled high with meat.
Yes.
Meat
and
just
onions,
falling out of your mouth?
Peppers and olives. Yes.
And
it's hard to keep meat in my mouth. Sometimes it gets on my chin.
And where is your pizza place of choice?
Flippers.
Oh, okay. Is that... I think you and I have eaten there.
Yes, we have. It's pretty good.
Okay. I don't remember, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
My memory is shot. I'm sorry.
That happens with old age.
Yeah, I know. So what's going on?
Not much.
Your gas.
My gas? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's raining. It's storming. Yep. Gonna build an ark. Put the covenant in it.
I don't think that's how that works.
No?
No.
Oh.
Wrong kind of ark.
Oh. It's the first time for everything.
So it's been a rough couple of days in Hollywood.
It has?
Well, yeah.
You mean there's a huge scandal that just erupted?
Well, wait a minute.
Or people have died, one or the other.
Well, I was talking about people dying, but...
the earthquake?
You could talk about either the earthquake, the couple of people that have died in the past couple of days, or what is this thing that you're talking about, this controversy?
Billionaire Jeffrey Epstein has been arrested on pedophile charges. And apparently there are a lot of very important people attached to him.
Okay.
So it's going to be bigger than Weinstein.
Really?
Apparently he liked young girls, and they often came from Mar-a-Lago.
Oh.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, but nothing's going to happen with that. Come on.
No, it'll be like Spacey. You know, he harassed the guy enough that he withdrew the charges, and it's going to go away.
Right.
Until somebody's smart enough to get him on tape.
So he
sent him away.
He was arrested on Saturday by the FBI,
yep.
And it comes 12 years after the 66-year-old financier essentially got a slap on the wrist for allegedly molesting dozens of underage girls in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What a piece of shit. Apparently, For more than a decade, there have been dozens of lawsuits brought by the victims, investigations by local and federal authorities, and exposés in the press. And he's just going to buy his way out of it.
They always do, because that's the world we live in.
Yep. Well, I mean, I hope he rots in jail, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. Kind of disturbing that this is 16 years or more that this has been going on, and people just look the other way.
Yes.
America.
Because that's what happens here.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate.
No, what I was talking about was the untimely death of a young Disney star.
Yes, only 20 years old.
Yeah,
Cameron Boyce.
Cameron Boyce. Had just I think in May he celebrated his 20th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't recognize the name, if you ever had a kid who watched Jesse or The Descendants, which is basically like TV movies that are based upon the children of Disney villains. And I want to say in the show he was Cruella DeVille's son?
Yes, Carlos.
Yes, okay. My kid is a big-time Descendants fan, so I've seen them a couple of times.
Ah.
They're actually about to release a part 3 this summer.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's kind of sad. Like, 20 years old is not...
Yeah, he had some kind of medical condition,
and he
had a seizure in his sleep.
Yeah. I mean, okay, if you're going to go, in your sleep is the way that you want it to be. Just from, like, no pain, no nothing, it's there, it's over, you probably don't even know it happened. You just never wake up. But, I mean, the kid has been acting since he was, like, 7 or something. Not only has he won Emmys for, he was in a Disney XD show called Timeless Heroes Be Inspired that celebrated Black History Month. He appeared in the series with his grandmother, Joanne Boyce, who was one of the Clinton 12, which was the 12 black teens who were first to integrate into public schools in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also an active humanitarian. He was deeply involved with Project Thirst, or the Thirst Project, which was spreading awareness of the global water crisis.
Uh-huh.
And so much so that he, for his birthday, he wanted to raise money, and he raised $27,000 to build 2 wells in Swaziland, wherever that is. And he was also awarded the Pioneering Spirit Award by the Thirst Project's, like, organization. So, I mean, when you hear Disney Channel actor, you don't think of somebody as deep as that, but I mean, apparently this kid had some depth to him other than just the acting and the Disney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that it's tragic for somebody that young to,
yes,
to die like that.
I would agree.
Of the people you want to die.
Yes.
He's not one of them.
Yes. And then we had the other death that most people may have already forgotten about.
Which is?
Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson.
He was on Laugh-In back in the 60s.
Okay.
He was known for wearing a German soldier's costume and peering out from behind a fern going, very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, I didn't even hear about him, so.
Yes.
He was, how old was he? He's 1929, so that makes him, how old?
90?
Yes, 90. Jesus.
Yes.
That's a good long run.
Yeah.
I hope to make it to 90 someday. And then also today, to make it the trifecta, Tony Award-winning creator of Annie, Martin Charning, died at 84.
I'm surprised you mentioned that one.
Well, because it's
on... Big Annie fan?
No, but it's on comicbook.com, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hard knock life.
I want to say the sun comes out tomorrow, but... Oh, well. Yeah, lots of death this week. There's big earthquakes. There could be a tropical depression coming from fucking Georgia. Like, what is going on in the world?
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. Next thing you know, there'll be, like, tanks on the mall in Washington, and...
Okay, so we got to hit on one political thing.
Okay.
Did you happen to catch the statement that was made by Trump at his big 4th of July rally?
About Washington taking out the airports?
Yes.
See, this is why we don't let Grandpa have the control for the TV anymore.
I seriously thought it was The Onion doing a story.
Nope.
And looked further into it. No, sure as shit, Trump actually said that during the Revolutionary War, Washington took over all of the airports. And it's like, at that point, if you don't know basic American history, you shouldn't be in charge of the country. There should be some kind of game show that these contestants have to go through of, like, you have to hit a qualifying number in order to be able to run for president. Maybe we change the thing that everybody can be president.
I would agree. I think they have to take a test, being like the National Spelling Bee. Instead of the debates, we line them all up and ask them, like, you know, civics questions.
Geography questions, yes. Civics questions.
On this map, show me where Libya is.
Show me where Swaziland is.
Yes.
No, you can't? Okay, you can't run for president. I'm sorry. Like during the Revolutionary War, what was the main tactic used by George Washington? And if you say storm the airports, you just don't get to run. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe that was an actual thing.
Yes.
America.
Land of the free.
Home of the stupid.
Yes. Yes. Do you think you could pass a U.S. citizenship test?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if I could, because I don't know what questions I would ask. Do you have it in front of you?
Is that what I do.
To do? Okay.
How often, when we elect a president, how long do they serve?
It's 4 years per term. They're allowed two terms per person.
House of Representatives has how many voting members?
I honestly don't know.
435.
Wow. Okay.
Which of these is not a cabinet-level position? Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Communications, Secretary of Agriculture.
Communications.
Yep. Who is in charge of the executive branch?
President. No.
Which war wasn't fought by the United States in the 1900s? Afghanistan, Korean, Vietnam, World War One.
Afghanistan.
Correct.
Okay.
What is the name of the national anthem?
Star Spangled Banner.
What piece of land did the United States buy from France in 1803?
The Louisiana Purchase.
There you go. How many U.S. senators are there?
Oh, Christ.
How many states are there?
50.
And you get two per state.
Do you? Okay, so 100?
Yes.
Okay.
When is the last day you can send in your federal income tax forms?
April 15th.
And... Number 10, who did the United States fight in World War II?
The Axis powers, which consisted of Germany, Italy, and Japan.
Correct.
Ah.
Wow, you're an American.
Okay, I mean, I did better than I thought I would.
Yeah. I think anybody who went to school can get most of these questions.
I would hope so. I mean, I think just basically living in the country for a while, you would get a bunch of those. But I mean, I don't know if I ever knew that the House of Representatives had 400 and something votes, and I plead stupidity on the other one I got wrong, but I think I did okay for...
You did.
Having forgotten most of my education.
Money well spent.
So there was also, this week, there was also a major controversy that erupted. In the entertainment industry, yes.
Was this a black and white question?
Yes, it is. So, okay. So Disney announced that they had cast the lead of Ariel for their live-action Little Mermaid. And threw the white nationalist people into a frenzy because she happens to be black.
Yes.
You know, I think there's better things to be more concerned about right now. But I do think it's funny that this has become a source of controversy. Because I don't really think it matters. It's more about, can the girl sing? Can the girl portray the character the way that the director wants the character to be portrayed?
Sure.
And the answer is probably yes. I mean, that's why they hire her. I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting. I saw one of the things that I saw about it on Reddit was somebody who made the point of, when I was a girl, I went to a theater and saw The Little Mermaid, where the main character had red curly hair just like me. And it showed me that no matter what you hear about gingers and the negative things about redheads, there was a positive role model for that. And why would I want to take that away from a little black girl who's going to go and see The Little Mermaid in a live action setting and the main character be black? And I kind of agree with that. It's more about what it represents to people instead of the fact that, hey, that's not a white girl. It was a white girl in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I thought it was kind of fucked up that we argue about everything now.
Well, wait till these people figure out about Jesus.
I saw that one too. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, being in Orlando, was there any, the heart of Disney, was there any kind of feeling around there of...
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
So then it's basically just middle America, right?
It's Trump supporters.
Pitching a fit.
It's idiots. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you're just... The people that complain are just not the demographic that Disney's trying to get through now. So go watch fucking all the other animated films that are out there. And just deal with it. I did see Spider-Man Far From Home this week.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
And what did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I don't think it's quite as good as Homecoming.
Oh, okay.
I feel like one of the negative comments about Homecoming was the fact that the end fight is very abrupt.
Okay.
By the time that Peter figures out Vulture's plan and is on the plane in the crash and the movie ends, is something like 15 to 20 minutes. And I think the filmmakers took that to heart because the third act of this, the end battle, is about 45 minutes long. And it just doesn't seem to end. Like, there are natural places to end it, and it just doesn't do it.
Huh.
So I kind of feel like they could have trimmed some stuff out, but overall, it's playing off of the new paradigm of Marvel, where everything has to be funnier than it really should be.
Okay.
And they're adding in a lot of humor to make it so it's not so stern and so sullen, and they're dealing a lot with fallout from Endgame and Infinity War, and they're trying to shove humor in there so that it's not like, look, it's not as big of a downer as Endgame or Infinity War. It's happy and it's funny, and it's still a little weird that we're looking at a film that's taking place 5 years in the future now. And while they mention the snap, or what they call in the movie the blip,
okay,
there's no real indication of a passage of time. Like, it seems like it's happening in 2019, but it's actually happening in like 2023. And you don't really see any hints of the fallout from what has happened. It's mentioned in the very beginning and a couple of places throughout, but it's really just a film, a Spider-Man film that Sony has made, to where they're having to kind of shoehorn in some of the stuff that Marvel wants to be in there to kind of tie this up.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So will you see the next film in this series?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And how was Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio?
You know, one of the things that make this movie really good is his interaction with Tom Holland.
Uh-huh.
There are people that just mesh, and the chemistry is there from the get-go. Like, Tom Holland and the dude that plays Ned, his sidekick, have really good chemistry in the first film.
Mm-hmm.
That chemistry, and maybe it's just Tom Holland, because Tom Holland is like a naturally, what's the word I'm looking for? He draws people in naturally.
Okay.
And a lot of people like him, and he's very likable, and you get the feeling that carries over. So when you see Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland on, like, Graham Norton, for instance, like, you can tell that they're having a really good time.
Hmm.
Just, like, hanging out together.
Right.
And their chemistry is part of the thing that makes this movie work.
Hmm.
So you get that, and you get him with Ned, and even, like, the character that Zendaya plays, MJ, in this is a little...
But she's not the MJ, is she?
Well, they call her MJ, but she's not okay. Mary Jane Watson.
Okay.
She's Michelle something something, and they mm-hmm. abbreviate her name to MJ.
Okay.
But, like, her character is weird. Like, her favorite flower is the Black Dahlia because of the murder and things like that. And, like... So she's kind of an oddball character anyway, and
mm-hmm.
you don't really see why Peter Parker would be attracted to her, but he is because of plot, I guess.
Okay.
So that's a little strange at times, but even the chemistry that Tom Holland has with Jon Favreau, who plays Happy Hogan in this.
Right.
Like, you just get the feeling that everybody's having a good time. It's not one of those movies where people hated who they were acting with and didn't speak to them in between takes, and it just seems like it was kind of a big party throughout the entire, like, shoot.
Hmm. So, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some people that come back that haven't been seen in a while, I guess, let me put it that way, that totally, like, throw you off guard, and you're like, holy crap, okay, this is kind of cool that these people are in it. So it's done really well. I just don't think it's I don't think the story is as tight as Homecoming was. I think I enjoyed that story more.
And how did you feel about the post-credit scene?
Well, there are two.
Or scenes, I was going to say. So, because there's a mid and a final.
Yes. And I would say that these two scenes are probably the best mid-credit scenes that Marvel has ever done.
Okay.
Because both of them add... They're not there for humor, per se. They are there to add to the actual story. Which is something that doesn't happen a whole lot. A lot of times it's just... They're there to kind of just say... Like, somebody had a joke that they came up with, and, oh, we'll put that in the mid-credit scene. And these two actually impact the story going forward. So I kind of appreciated that. You know, it's not the Captain Marvel, like, cat throwing up the Tesseract thing.
Right.
It's just, okay, we want to set things up because this is the end of Phase 4 or Phase 3, whatever it is. So we're going to give you a couple of things to look forward to in upcoming films. And if you'd asked me last week of what I thought the mid-credit scenes were going to be, not in a million years would I have ever picked these two things. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay. Well, nice.
Yeah.
Have you been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season?
I have not.
I lost interest last season because it was this weird... They got sent to the future and a distant planet, and it was really hard to follow.
Because they didn't want to deal with the fallout of, like, Endgame, right?
Right.
Or Infinity War.
Right. But at the end of the season, Coulson dies.
Okay.
Or he goes to Tahiti...
Again?
Yes. Well, what you think Tahiti is, not what you found out Tahiti was. The island paradise.
Oh, okay.
And there's him and May on the beach drinking tropical drinks, and, you know, that's the end. This season's a little bit better. There's a new character who looks like Coulson, is played by Clark Gregg, is not Coulson.
Okay.
But apparently has the exact same genetic makeup as Coulson.
Huh?
Yeah, they haven't explained this whole thing yet. But basically, he is there with a set of kind of like bounty hunters who are trying to wipe out this invasive creature that's spawned by the monoliths, which is where the black matter stuff came from.
Okay.
And the two scientists,
Fitzsimmons. Yeah.
Fitzsimmons is in outer space and they rescue him, and now they're coming back to Earth because they met this strange woman who says she has to get back to Earth for some reason. And actually, she's the one who creates these creatures that they're kind of like face huggers, but they look like bats.
Okay.
So they go into your body, they mature, and then when they break out, they're like these crystalline forms.
Okay.
And Coulson is supposed to be, or not Coulson, he's called Sarge.
Oh, Jesus.
Is actually the one who's got like this mega bomb on a big rig truck that he's going to drive into it, and we'll see what happens.
But it's not, it's Clark Gregg, but it's not Coulson.
Correct. Now, the other thing is, there's speculation now that this creature is from one of the dark dimensions of Doctor Strange.
Okay.
So it hasn't really been proven, but it's starting to look like that may be the way it's going.
So do you think you're going to get answers? So when you say Coulson dies last season, does he get shot or something to where he has to go to Tahiti?
No, he finally dies. Whatever was wrong with his body just dies.
Okay. After he like loses a hand and
yes.
So he succumbs to Loki's stab from Avengers finally?
Sure.
That's so weird.
Yes.
And he's just sitting on a beach and he's like, I feel like it's time to go.
That's kind of it.
And
yeah.
He just leans over and dies.
Yep.
What the fuck? Okay.
With May at his side.
What happened to that show?
I don't know. I do not know. That, it's weird.
It used to be so good.
Yes.
It followed like what was going on in the cinematic universe and brought people over from the cinematic universe, and they dealt with Asgardians and all this other stuff, and now it's just like, we're going to go into the far future because we don't want to mess with what's going on in the cinematic universe.
Yes.
Which is weird, because if you read about the Disney Plus shows that they're doing, they have said that everything that happens in those shows not only will be canon, but will affect the movies.
Correct.
So that is so weird. To where they have this entity that's been with them since kind of the beginning, and they're just like shitting all over it because Kevin Feige doesn't like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing or something.
Yeah.
It's so messed up.
It's very weird. There's this whole backstory with the code that was it in the first season that Coulson was writing all over the walls?
Yeah.
That Marvel and Disney have tried to perpetuate, but it's just so complicated and hard to understand. And it's not going anywhere. But if you go on a couple of the Disney cruise ships,
yeah,
you'll see this code.
Oh, really?
In artifacts, yeah. In the kid spaces. Very bizarre. Very bizarre.
It's almost like Disney feels like, well, we own them, so we're going to do whatever we want with these things.
Mm.
Even if it doesn't go along with their plan of what they want to do with the Marvel stuff. Like, it's in the library, so just use it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Exact. Have you happened upon Krypton on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I watched a couple of episodes from the first season.
Yeah.
But I have not watched much, and I know, didn't they just come out with a second season?
Mm-hmm.
Is it any good?
I'm enjoying it, but it's kind of odd.
Is that the one with Lobo?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's going to get his own spinoff.
I heard that.
I was never a Lobo fan, so I didn't know anything about the character. But as soon as he showed up on the show, I'm like, oh, that's Lobo. Not realizing that he was connected to Superman in some way.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a typical sci-fi action-adventure kind of show. It takes place 200 years before Kal-El is born.
Right.
I guess. So this is Kal-El's grandfather. So two generations back, three generations back from Superman.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird. And there's, at one point, the Zods and the Els were collaborators.
Oh.
And now they're not. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And then, you know, there's your typical bizarre religious sect that they throw in there for good measure.
Of course.
But it's been, there's nothing else on. So, there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, I finished Good Omens this week.
Uh-huh.
so there's no more of that to watch. So I'm kind of bummed about that. But there hasn't, like, there hasn't really been anything on where I'm like, oh, I need to watch that.
Yeah. You're not watching Love Island or The Bachelorette?
No. I mean,
no?
I'll watch, the only other thing that I've watched recently is the new season of Stranger Things that just came out.
Mm.
But that's only because I've put in the time to watch the rest of it.
Right.
And this season is kind of weird anyway.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people commenting on Facebook that they binged it and watched the whole thing. It's like, all right, well, I haven't watched season two yet, so
of
at some point I'll catch up. Yeah.
Oh.
At some point I'll catch up. Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it is summer. The only other thing I'm watching and enjoying is the Penn and Teller thing.
Oh, fool us.
Yeah, because I enjoy magic. And they have made it a point of, while it's a game show, it's really meant to just showcase magicians.
Yes.
And to get it out there of, like, this is kind of
an art form?
Yes, it's an art form, and it's not just people who, like, play children's parties and shit like that. And
right.
I've always respected Penn and Teller a lot, so.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Penn's handling of the other magicians. He's very appreciative of the work, mm-hmm. and it's not like an American's Got Talent where they, you know, outright tell people they suck.
Right, and
he's very supportive, and he's very encouraging, and, you know, they admit when they're wrong.
Right, and a lot of times, like I listen to Penn's podcast, and he makes a point on there of saying, like, we're not out to humiliate these people.
Right.
What we're trying, what, like, we speak in code when we know what's going on, so that we're not giving their tricks away, but so that
right.
they know that we know what they're doing. And I appreciate that kind of stuff, because if you're a magician and you're working that hard, you don't want your stuff spoiled, and they understand that.
Right.
Because they've been in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the things that, if you ever listen to Penn talk about, or Teller for that matter, they'll talk about a lot about how there's a society of magicians that's based out of London called the Magic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not allowed to be in the Magic Circle because they are quote unquote givers of magic. That, you know, the Magic Circle claims that Penn and Teller give away how they do magic. And
well, they do, but they don't.
They don't. They don't give away the tricks. They make the tricks harder on themselves to make it look like they are giving away the secrets.
But even when they do, they've got one trick where they do it from the front, and then they flip everything around so that it's as if you're behind them on stage watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the exact same trick, and, you know, you see them using trap doors and crawling behind everybody and stuff like that. But then the end of it is something totally unexpected.
Right. And
so it's like they didn't really show you anything.
They do a trick with they do the cups and balls, but they do it regularly, and then they do it with clear plastic cups. And they they talk you through the steps of what they're doing, but the real magic is them performing the moves.
Yes.
And that's what people don't understand. People are like, oh, they're just showing you how they're doing it. It's like, well, no. There's still artistry to that, and there's still a lot of stuff going on that you're not really seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I've always liked them. I've always appreciated them. Apparently, if you want to learn card tricks, you can go on MasterClass now.
Yep.
And learn magic, essentially, from Penn and Teller.
Right.
Which I think is interesting.
It's very cool that they are that supportive of spreading the art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they could just, like, rest on their laurels and just be like, yeah, right. We don't really have to do anything here. But they do it anyway.
Right. So since we're talking about magic, did you follow the David Copperfield case?
What case?
So there is a British tourist who got chosen to be part of one of his illusions in Vegas, and he got injured. Everybody says he tripped backstage. He says he suffered brain damage. It's a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. They brought Copperfield in. Copperfield had to explain how the trick was done. This was a trick where they pull a number of people out of the audience and bring them up on stage and then hide them behind a big cloth, and then eventually that cloth disappears and the people are gone, and then they reappear at the back of the crowd.
Okay.
The trick part of it is that there's kind of a secret door in the fabric that once the front piece is up, everybody is kind of escorted through.
Okay.
And they have to run through this dimly lit corridor or whatever to get to the back of the theater where they appear again.
Okay.
And they said that Copperfield was negligent, but he wasn't financially liable for the injuries.
Okay.
Which is kind of odd. It's like, okay.
How does that work? I mean, isn't there some kind of, like, responsibility that you take as an audience member when you're going to volunteer for something like that, where, like...
Yes. And I'm sure you've signed something, you know, either by purchasing the ticket, it says you understand you may be filmed or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like this dude just wants money.
He did. He got nothing. And Copperfield, the accident happened in 2013. Copperfield hadn't done the trick since 2015. So it's not like he was losing anything by having to reveal the secrets.
Right.
He hadn't done anything with it for several years. So it was just another one of those frivolous lawsuits.
Oh, people suck.
But it involved magic, so it was relevant.
He was on Fool Us this year.
Yes, he was.
He did a bit where Penn and Teller decided that they were going to see if they could fool a famous magician, and they brought him over.
Mm-hmm.
And were able to fool him, which was weird. But
now, did you see the one they did with Chris Hardwick for April Fools?
Yes,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, apparently, on Penn's podcast, he was talking about the fact that they went back and forth for a really long time on whether or not they should let Hardwick in on the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Of, do we tell him that we're doing this, or do we just let it go and see what he does? And they didn't. They let him go out there and think he was doing magic when everybody else was in on it.
Yes, very well done. Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. Do you keep up with the Walking Dead comic books?
No, but I did read this week that they're ending.
They are ending. With issue 193.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they didn't wait until issue 200.
Yeah. Or 195.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I give a lot of credit then to Robert Kirkman for having a story he wanted to tell and ending it after it was done.
Right.
Because a lot of people would not have done that.
No.
They would have stretched it out and milked it for all they could. And he didn't. He said, look, this is the story. This is where we're ending it. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, to the point where I had read a thing where they went as far as hiring artists to do covers and storyboards for issues that they were never going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that they could go back and surprise everybody with, hey, this is it. This is the end of the...
Yep. Yeah, they even had solicitations for comic book stores to order issues past 193.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear how it ends?
Well, I know Rick dies.
Rick finally dies.
Uh-huh.
And the final issue is a flash forward where you see an adult Carl and his wife Sophia raising their daughter Andrea in a farmhouse. I didn't realize that the official term for the zombie outbreak was the trials.
Oh, really?
Yes. But this last issue is more or less a hopeful message that, you know, they're starting to get back to normal.
Okay.
Not so much technology-wise, but in terms of keeping the status quo. And this is all very similar to that dream sequence we saw of the Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay. I knew that a bunch of that stuff that they had shot, like the old man Rick stuff, was based upon the comic book. But yeah, I mean, the show is so, it's so different from any of that stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
That I honestly don't know where they're going to go with it.
No. And like I've told you, it's like, I'm done with it. I enjoyed it. I will probably tune in to the Where's Rick TV movie.
Uh-huh.
To find out where the hell he is and who these people with the helicopter are. But I don't have any interest in watching this weekly.
But apparently you're going to find out all kinds of stuff about the helicopter people from Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, well. And how is that possible? Did Fear of the Walking Dead finally catch up to Walking Dead?
Well, so what ended up happening was they are now in the same year that Walking Dead was in when Rick disappeared.
Okay.
Once Rick gets on the helicopter, there's a 5-year time jump or whatever.
Yep.
The Fear of the Walking Dead is still, they're now 5 years behind.
Okay.
But that allows people like Morgan and the dude with the burned face.
The Hound?
No. He kind of looks like the Hound. Dwight.
Oh, Dwight.
To cross over, and apparently they're now fighting with a faction that on their uniforms they have the three circles like are on the helicopter. So there's talk that there could be a point where Morgan is in the TV movies.
Okay.
Since he helped start The Walking Dead, and I don't know. It's all a little weird.
Yeah, it was good while it lasted, but, you know, I'm done. Thanks. Moving on.
Yeah, I don't watch Fear at all. I'll still watch the regular one, but I had some morbid curiosity of how they were going to tell the story without Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Whisperers, which was kind of a big deal in the comic books.
Right.
But, you know, now that that's over, I just don't know anymore. Just kind of is what it is. I mean, nobody really cares about the Whisperers, so why should I?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What else did I watch? Oh, I told you I finished Good Omens.
Yep.
I really liked it. I thought the last episode suffered from a bit of Return of the King disease.
Okay.
Like, it ends really quick. Like, most of the action is over within 15 minutes, maybe.
Hmm.
And then you have 45 minutes of the fallout of it.
Right.
And I just kind of felt like you could have done more to, like, and to be fair, I haven't read the book, so maybe this is the way the books go. But it just felt like it was an awful fast resolution to the main problem. And it just kind of ended very quickly.
It sounded like we've only got X number of episodes to do this in, and oh, we got to catch up.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of time doing certain character building, which again, I think David Tennant and Michael Sheen, is that his name?
Yep, Michael Sheen.
I think they have some really great chemistry as the angel and the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they were just trying at that point to just get back to them and kind of wrap up their story.
Right.
And like, oh yeah, there's an Antichrist. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. But the Antichrist isn't really bad.
Right.
All the Antichrist wants is a puppy.
Yes.
So again, I mean, I enjoyed it. I wish there was a season two, but I know there's not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take it for what it is.
Sure.
But yeah, it's that fucking summer doldrum of like nothing on.
Uh-huh.
Nothing but game shows. Don't really want to watch Press Your Luck.
Yeah, no. I've been watching this cable channel called Decades.
Oh yeah, okay.
And this weekend has been a Remington Steel marathon. Boy, Pierce Brosnan was a dick.
Oh yeah, in that show he's not.
It was his
bid to be James Bond.
Yes, but he was offered James Bond, but they wouldn't release him from the TV show, so he couldn't do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would hurt you.
Yeah, but he got to be Bond afterwards.
Yeah.
But it's just another one of those weird premises that she creates this made-up character of Remington Steele because nobody will hire her as a female private eye.
Right.
And then he's a con artist who shows up and says he's Remington Steele and she has to play along.
Totally
and
believable.
We've just gotten to the point where Ray's mother from Everybody Loves Raymond,
okay,
has joined the cast. And she totally buys into the Remington Steele piece, so she, like, if she's asked to do something, she, like, goes directly to Steele and not to Laura, the girl.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting dynamic. And they started playing off the will-they-won't-they thing.
Yeah.
And then they just said, screw it, we're going for it. Very bizarre.
I mean, I find most 80s TV is very strange in today's, like, climate.
Yes, yes. Like Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, all, any of like that stuff.
You're going to let this little old lady who's an author onto the crime scene and let her interrogate witnesses? What?
Yeah, or you hear the way, like, characters talk to each other and you're like,
yes.
Is that really the way that people talked to each other back in the 80s?
Yes.
Like, it was that the culture? And it kind of was.
Yeah, it was incredibly weird. Having lived through it.
Yeah. God, we're old.
Yes, we are.
I mean, even if you look at something like Murphy Brown, where, like, the main character is supposed to be the strong female, yet they do everything they can to throw all this adversity in her face.
Right.
And, like, that's the conflict of the show. And it's like, okay.
And yeah.
Maybe we just tell stories differently now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big part.
If we've evolved as storytellers, maybe that's where it shows the most.
Good point.
I don't know. I mean, are you watching any of the summer reality stuff?
No, yeah. I never do. Yeah, I have no interest in that stuff.
None at all?
I watched a little bit of The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
But nothing else. Nothing whatsoever.
I just can't get into that stuff anymore.
No.
And there's just nothing in there that is appealing to me.
Maybe we become less voyeuristic as we get older.
Possibly. I think too that a lot to do with it has like we're from the generation of the very first Real World.
Mm-hmm.
Where nobody had ever done that before. Nobody had ever stuck a camera in a house with six strangers and
right.
just taped it. And then that
right.
that became like scripted reality, and I think we've just gotten to the point where we're just all kind of over it.
I think so.
And
I think the
people that haven't dealt with all that still watch that crap.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I don't know. It's strange.
It's a bizarre world we live in.
Yeah. Well, as long as we take over the airports, everything will be fine.
That's right. So why didn't Washington fly across the Potomac?
You'd have to ask the president that.
I guess. Now, Melania did get a lovely statue in her home country. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, you should look it up. It's beautiful. It looks just like her.
All right, hang on. How do you spell her name?
Melania.
Trump statue. Oh, it's an autofill. Is that real?
Yes. It was carved with a chainsaw. Looks just like her, doesn't it? Isn't it great?
What the fuck?
It's beautiful.
Wow. So okay. I'm trying to find the words. It's a carving. It's a carving of her in a blue dress, where I guess she's wearing blue boots and blue gloves.
Yes, it was her outfit from the inauguration.
Okay, and the rest of her is brown, like wood brown.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a 5-year-old with a chainsaw did it.
Yes.
The New York Times headline is, "Someone used a chainsaw to make a Melania Trump statue. Few were impressed." Svenica. Where is Svenica? In Slovenia.
Yes.
Where's Slovenia?
Central Europe, close to the Russian border.
Oh. Oh, well, that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The statue was commissioned by an American artist, Brad Downey, who said on Saturday that it's the first monument to Mrs. Trump as a serious work of art.
Yes.
But those who saw it was when it was inaugurated last Friday gave the work decidedly unkind reviews. It's a disgrace. It's a smurfette. Or a few of the comments from the residents. I mean, it is really bad. It's if I tried to make a statue of somebody. Yeah, oh, man. That is terrible.
Yes. But fitting.
Yeah, well. If you type in Melania Trump statue into Google, you will see an Etsy shop that has, like, lewd pictures of her.
Oh.
That you can buy for...
That's...
$13 a pop.
Wow, that's not bad. Do you think the next president is just going to, like, erase any remnants of these two people?
You would hope.
That they'll come in, they will, you know, they'll, like, take the portraits down and put them in the basement or, you know, where nobody goes. Take out the spray tan booth.
Yeah, exactly. Clean up all the grease.
Yes.
I mean, look.
Get rid of that pee smell.
Whoever takes over next has an uphill battle of not only the American people, but the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to do serious damage control.
Yep.
For everything. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know how they do this. It's a weird fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird because, like, you go on Facebook and you see people that you never thought would support Trump supporting Trump. And then...
Yes.
Like, it's either, like, a lot of political shit or, hey, the U.S. women's soccer team just won the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That those seem to be the only two things that I see on my Facebook feed anymore. And it makes me just want to get off Facebook. And I don't know why I stay on, but I think it's for all the 3D printing groups and shit that are still on it.
Yeah.
But even those are becoming, like, political.
I think everything has become political. There's no way around it.
But it shouldn't be. There should be a place where you can go and relax and not have to deal with this shit. I mean, it's all political on, like, all these things, like Instagram and all the other shit that's out there.
Right.
What if you just want to look at people's pictures, man? Can't do that. So, not knowing what Melania Trump's past is, she sure does have an awful lot of nude photos on Etsy. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, she was a model.
A nude model, apparently?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was a whore. Pretty much.
I love the way you're so matter-of-factly about that.
I mean, why else would you end up with Trump?
No, absolutely.
Obviously for the money, because it's not because he's attractive. It's not because he's a caring individual.
No.
It's because you're a whore. That's all there is to it. Same thing with Ivana.
Yeah.
And who was the second one? The second one was the actress.
I have no idea.
Don't even remember. Yep.
That's how memorable they are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good times in old America. All right, well, on that depressing note, you have anything else?
Nah, I think I'm done.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
No joke to end it on?
You can't top Washington shutting down the airports.